Hey, happy Friday, everybody. We're GFBS now on Amazon Music. You tell your smart speaker to play GFBS Bot Podcast, and boom, there you go. Bennett Breen and Chuck Breen on the show today. Show today brought to you by Score. Would you like to get a better grasp of how to save money and improve your credit score? Maybe you want to start a new business, or maybe you want to buy a new house. Check out the Personal Growth Learning Series webinars hosted by Score and U.S. Bank. Conquering Credit, Thursday, October 15th at 4. Simple Steps to Starting a Business, October 22nd from 4 to 5. And Telling Your Story to Increase Sales, October 29th at 4. These one-hour sessions are free. Register for one webinar, or maybe you want to register for all of them. Just call 701-746-5851. The Personal Growth Learning Series, presented by Score and U.S. Bank. All of the SBA's programs and services are provided to the public on a non-discriminatory basis. Reasonable arrangements for persons with disabilities will be made if requested at least 2 weeks in advance. Before we talk to, Bennett and Chuck, time now for our daily segment, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. How many visitors in an art gallery does it take to change a light bulb? How many visitors in an art gallery does it take to change a light bulb? Two. One to do it, and one to say, my four-year-old could have done that. All right, Paul, what do you got to say about that one?
I like that one.
Yeah, that wasn't so bad, was it? Yeah. Chuck, Ben, what'd you think?
I'd give her about a seven.
I'm gonna tell you guys this right now. Bennett Breen, the artist, Chuck Breen, his brother, who has been a friend of mine for years. I have been itching to get you guys in the studio for so long, and I just got this random call from you last night, Chuck, saying you're going to be in town, and I was just tickled. I've been waiting to get you guys on here forever, and welcome to GFBS Studios.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, boy, what's new in your world? Hey, okay, first, Bennett, maybe people don't know who you are. We'll get into that, but first off, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Born in Rolla, North Dakota, but I claim Belkert is where I was born. And let's see, lived in Grand Forks 20 years, moved back to Belkert 20 years ago, got a studio up north of Belkert in the bush, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Taught at college 10 years and just doing artwork now.
Okay.
I'm not at the college anymore, so.
And you make, like, doing artwork is such a bad thing. I think that would be an unbelievable job to have.
Yeah, that was, it's pretty cool, you know. Yeah, man. I quit the brewskis here about 3 years ago and kind of focusing on the art now, so mm-hmm. That's pretty cool, you know. That's pretty good.
How did you ever get your start in art? I mean, just one day did you pick up a paintbrush? One day did you pick up a piece of rebar? Or how did you get started? And how did you know when you were pretty dang good at it?
Let's see. My oldest brother, Pierre, he was drawing some tanks and ships and army guys and whatnot when he was about 8 and I was 6, and I seen him do it and I thought, man, that's just cool, you know. And
mm-hmm.
And I started drawing when I was 6 because I seen my older brother draw, and he could have been good, I think, but he had too much of a brain. He went into electronics and radio and all that kind of stuff, and so he went to other things, and about the only thing I could do was, only thing I enjoyed really was the art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was never really a brain per se, you know, but.
Paul, are you listening to this?
Oh, yeah. Just not paying attention.
Well, when you said he had more of a brain and went on to other things, that's why I thought maybe you would have caught that there. But,
you know, I actually had, I told you I had a surprise for you.
Mm-hmm.
I actually met you about 32 years ago.
Oh.
So I went to Wilder Elementary.
Oh, wow.
And you came in and you helped us paint the murals on the underpass and in the school.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Smokes.
Yeah. So I painted the B that was in that underpass. Oh. And, oh. Yeah. I remember you
That's
telling
how you
me how amazing of an artist I was, and I just pursued it from then on out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we used pointillism, and the boys were better daughters, you know.
Yeah.
Pointillism.
Yep. Did you recognize them?
Oh, yeah. Right off the bat.
When, Ben, did you realize, I'm really good at this? I mean, did you go to like a fair or an art show and decide to try to sell some of your work, or did people approach you, or how did you know when you were at that point where, wow, maybe I could make a living at this?
Oh, that didn't come until, geez, way after college, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Got an award from a Paul Warcloud Grant Memorial Art Award when I was in high school. My dad and ma knew Paul Warcloud Grant and his ma. Or his wife, I mean. Dad was a basketball coach at Stefan Indian School in South Dakota, and Paul was one of his...
No, actually, Paul and Dad graduated the same year
from Stefan. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. But anyway, Paul Warcloud Grant, he became quite the famous Sioux artist in South Dakota, and probably because he knew Mom and Dad, I got that award, and I still got that hanging up in my studio in Belkirk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing.
Yeah. I mean, you're very deeply connected to the values of your native people. In fact, I think there's a quote I read of you saying there's always something native that is recognizable in my work. Your history and your heritage means a ton to you guys, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In college, there some people would ask, how come you guys are always doing Indian stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as the subject matter, and thought, geez, that's the only thing I want to do, like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Seen Oscar Howe's work when I was in boarding school in South Dakota, and he is just like the greatest native painter, I think. And man, I just, I don't know, man. I was wondering why the white kids didn't paint their heritage, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we love to do our Indian things and whatever, but it was kind of... kind of weird when somebody asked me that, because I never thought about it before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
You know, the way things are going, and they don't always get history right, but it seems like they're doing away with history now in schools and education. You know, there's things that have happened in the past in North America, the United States. And we might not all agree with it. Some people might, but you still need to have the history. People are knocking down statues. They're destroying artwork. They're doing all of this thing all around the country. They're supposed to be peacefully protesting. I don't know where you get peaceful protesting out of that, but what are your thoughts on are you guys afraid that we might not even need history teachers anymore, because it seems like nobody wants to talk about our history, whether it's good or bad?
Jeez, I don't know, man. You got to know your past, they say, you know, otherwise you're going to repeat it or mm-hmm. whatever. I don't know, man. It's just crazy, you know. I mean, everybody should be proud of what they are. We're all Americans,
sure,
first and foremost, but you got to be proud of what you are, you know.
Exactly.
Mean, damn. You know, the left side and then the right side, you know. I mean, that's some good stuff, you know.
No, if I could say something real quick. When we go back to our relatives, we've had relatives on both sides that were very good artists.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, one of our relatives did a mural up in the Belkirk Old Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
One of our uncles was an amazing drawing of cowboys.
Uncle Melvin, yeah.
Yeah. And then when we go look at Ben's grandkids and kids, very amazing artists.
Yep.
Yeah.
Apple didn't fall too far from the tree then.
Yeah. It's continuing, which is great to see that, you know. They have the same love that Ben has for what it's doing, and it's going to continue generational.
Yeah, how many kids are in your family? I know you got your two brothers, and I know you have one other brother for sure, maybe two, but you come from a fairly large family.
Six brothers. One's passed away now. He was in a stuntman / actor, passed away. And how long ago was that?
Oh, geez, I don't even know, 4 or 5 more years ago or something.
I think I remember reading something about him. He was in some pretty big movies too, wasn't he?
Last of the Mohicans, Cheyenne Warrior. He was on Dr. Quinn.
Really?
One time he was wringing her neck, but he had his hand way, you know.
If you're going to do it right.
Grab her neck, you know. He said, come on, grab her neck. The guy told her.
If you're going to do it right, ask him. Bennett. He'll show you.
He is in quite a few of them, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bit parts and stuff.
Yep. you've done so much work that, I know of, Bennett. First off, let's talk about the hat you're wearing. University of Fighting Sioux, or University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux logo. It was when they made the changes and everything, and you came up with I thought was an unbelievable design. Tell us how that came to you, and there are things in that picture that people might not realize, but there are things in that picture that they mean something. Explain the logo a little bit.
The Hawk logo?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I started with the negative or whatever of the Fighting Sioux logo, and then I just went forward from there, and let's see.
And like, what about the Sioux head? Now, don't feathers and colors, and don't they represent different things? Mm-hmm. I thought I'd, yeah, because we got one of your first prints, and I know it's got the story there, but you don't just draw a picture and say, there you go. I mean, a lot of thought goes into these.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like the feathers represent honorable things achieved in one's life. For the natives, it was like bravery, wartime things, you know. You know, for stealing a horse, you know, you got, you know, certain accolades for touching a warrior, for, I suppose, killing one too, you know. And yeah, their warrior, the thought about their warriors, I don't know, they probably dealt with PTSD pretty good because it wasn't looked down upon or something. And back then, you had to protect your family.
Sure.
I mean, geez, the next tribe, they weren't, you know, politically correct. And not going to do nothing against you if you told them not to, you know. I mean.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize, too, it wasn't the natives and the white man that were at war. It was, you know, different tribes, different bands that were at war. And not to mention just trying to live through the harsh elements.
Oh, geez.
I mean, it couldn't have been easy. PTSD, I would think, would be all over. And, you know, it's funny that wasn't even a word until Desert Storm, really.
Yeah. You know, something I found that was really cool about that design that somebody pointed out to me, and now I see it all the time, is you actually have the profile of the head in the back. I don't know if you've seen that, where the feathers end, it makes the profile, which is really cool.
A lot of, like, little hidden little things in there. Mm-hmm. When you come up with a new piece of art, somebody commissions you to do something, Bennett, how much thought goes into that whole process? When, you know, for example, you were showing us the Trump Peter Swan. is there significant meaning in different parts of that creation? Because, or do you just sculpt the bird?
The bird is coming, either landing or taken off from the water, the reeds and whatnot. And yeah, with that one there, it's just the water and the reeds and the bird, kind of like a dynamic type of thing going on. I've got a few teepees on the bottom of that sculpture, just to throw in a native element.
You know?
Yeah, that's about it on that one.
And where is that sculpture going to go?
Some guy in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh,
got it. Yeah. Little Canada or something?
Oh, yeah, Little Canada.
Is there a town by...
Yeah, there's an area. Yeah, it's called Little Canada.
Okay,
we're going to talk more about where your artwork is here in a minute, but if you're one of the people that have been putting off that maybe a remodel job or something you need new around the house, maybe your wife wants a new kitchen, maybe you need a new bathroom, tell you what, let Executive Properties get it done. Barry Romo and the crew over there, they have got a ton of experience, over 30 years, in fact, and they do everything, all types of commercial and residential work, kitchen, bathrooms, doors, concrete, siding, cabinets, trim, tile. They do it all inside or out. They're going to listen and take the time to see what you want done, and then they're going to do it right the way you want it. Again, they offer some great senior and referral discounts. They're willing to work with any budget. And they do snow removal, something to be thinking about, all right? Call them up if you want, 701-330-1273. You can check out their website at executiveproperties.org. And make sure you check out the reviews, too. They've got some mad reviews on Facebook and Google. You're going to love their work. I know these guys, they do awesome stuff. Executive Properties, your one-stop company that can do it all for you. Back in the studios of GFBS, Bennett and Chuck Breen on the show with us today. And by the way, Your artwork now, well, Bennett, you're basically, you're not around Grand Forks or Belcourt. You are basically worldwide now, your stuff. It's getting out there.
Ooh. Oh, well, my sculptures are mostly in North Dakota, one in Crookston. Oh, now this rebar trumpeter swan, I call him Et Danny. That's a little Mitchiff word. He's going to be in St. Paul, so I got two in Minnesota now.
Okay.
Pretty soon.
The one in Crookston is at UMC, I believe.
Yep.
University of Minnesota Crookston. It's you got something at the North Dakota State Capitol.
Two of them there, a horse and a bison.
All right. Let's see where else. North Dakota Game and Fish.
Sharp-tailed grouse.
The Chester Fritz. Thought you had something at the Fritz.
Oh, behind the Chester Fritz Library.
Okay, yeah. Is it Eagle?
Eagle, yeah.
Okay. How about the Skydancer Casino?
Yep.
Grand Forks Police Department, you got something there, too?
Work release, they allowed me.
Okay.
Friendly fellas there.
Yeah.
my artwork at the KC Hall.
Yeah.
I had to do it for community service.
That shed looked like real bricks, so it did. It did.
Yeah, you did the bricks?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I remember, Bennett, many, many years ago, I worked out. It was Concrete Incorporated back then. Oh, yeah. You used to come out and talk to Paul or whoever was running the welding shop back then. And I remember when you used to haul out scrap rebar out of there. And I mean, I'm going to admit, it's like, what the heck is he going to do with that junk? Because that's all it is junk. Yeah. And then you look at what you create with this so-called junk, and it's amazing because rebar is not the most nice-looking chunk of steel out there, but what you do to it is incredible, and you just kind of kept on going. I know they still have a sign, I think. Well, they did until they closed that you had made back in the day.
Yeah, Brian Gorno used to bring me like a 5-gallon pail full of scraps when I first started at Bison on the Capitol grounds by the Heritage Center. And then he'd bring some more, and then I'd go out there and start meeting the people, and then they'd give me like a barrel full a couple times. And I still got some of that Belcourt, actually, in my studio. And that rebar, it's got a nice texture. You can bend a 3/8 inch just with your arm, you know, in your hands, whatever. The 1/2 inch, you couldn't do that. And then with the 3/8, you can use a 3.5-foot bolt cutter to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all hand done. And a little grinder, welder, that's all you need, really.
Pretty simple. I used to work with that stuff all day long, and my hands would get so sore, I couldn't imagine bending it by hand. I'd bring it back to the guy in the shop and say, bend this for me. Brian Gorno, a name you mentioned, relative, right, cousin?
Yep.
Yeah.
He kind of is into the art stuff, too. Doesn't he make the signs with the license plates and things? And I've seen some of his stuff.
He does that. He also carves pipestone. Amazing carving with pipestone. He does the signs. I think anything he wants to do, he can do that.
Yeah. He doesn't quit, that guy. He just surprised the heck out of me, man.
He puts something in his head, and it's nonstop till he completes it. Really amazing.
Yeah. Some of the stuff you've drawn, is that artwork still available for purchase? Or if you don't do that anymore? Or I mean, I know I was looking at your website. You do giveaways and all kinds of stuff, don't you?
I try to help out every now and then, you know, if I could. I've been doing like a series of paintings for like the last year. I just took a break here recently, but they're all Fighting Sioux paintings, and they're like, 4 foot by 2 foot 8 inches, and they're the Fighting Sioux image, but they're all different, and it's kind of like in a cubism style.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I kind of dug back in the day. And it is just interesting getting back to painting, man. I mean, doing the rebar for all them years and then jumping back into painting. So and I got maybe a few more commissions to do, so I'll get back into that once it starts getting a little colder.
Yeah, is it like just a nice brain change to go from one to the other like that and maybe regroup a little bit or get your juices flowing again for maybe when you're done doing the painting?
Man, it's so interesting doing like... I've done little pipestone carvings, then stone. I don't do stone anymore. But pipestone, I'll do a little of that. And then drawing and painting, and then the rebar. And, yeah, I just got my exhaust fan put in this summer. So I can do welding over the winter now. And I think I might do another Fighting Sioux welding head sculpture, whatever.
Have you ever, I mean, well, for example, the swan you're working on, how long did that take?
Jeez, not really too long. 6 months, maybe.
Okay, yeah, not too long, 6 months. Yeah. It's half a year.
Yeah, some of them were like a year and a half and stuff.
Have you ever got done with one, say that took you a year or a year and a half, have you ever got done with one, you stood back and looked at it and you went, nah, I don't like it, and start tweaking or not? No. I mean, I know you have your vision when you start it, what you're envisioning, what it's going to look like. Does it always turn out the way you want it to?
Well, first and foremost, I'm not a tweaker, okay? Beer, okay, you know. No, just kidding. Well, anyway, no, usually they all turn out pretty good, you know. I've been doing it so long that I think I make the right decisions on a lot of things, you know. And then with that abstract style with the realism, well, the realism is pretty much just there, you know, either it's real or not. Then the abstract, you can kind of... like the card says, you know, like BS a little, you know.
Yep.
You know, one of the, I guess, one of the most difficult things I always had was knowing when to be done. When you're like, okay, it's finally finished, or when you just know to step away. I think that's like the most difficult thing to do.
Yeah. With the two-dimensional, geez, you can just go on and on and on, boy, and just details and. Yeah. Knowing when to quit, that's a big part there, boy.
Jeez. Well, you know, and that's just it, too, because I would look at this stuff and I could say, my God, that is incredible. And knowing how you guys are kind of wired, you're probably going, what? It's not even halfway done yet. Are you kidding me?
Well, the one who ever designed the new Sioux logo, I think he probably knew to quit after like 5 minutes. It's good.
The new Hawk logo, right?
Yeah.
You know, one of the favorite things that I have had several pieces of Ben's artwork, but it's a carving you need out of cottonwood bark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's another medium is done also is wood carvings, and it's I think I have two of them. They're beautiful.
Wow. You should see the cottonwood trees I've got out of my house. They are all over the place. Getting back, and this was something I'm glad you mentioned this, your thoughts, and I don't want to open up an old can of worms again or keep beating the dead horse, but when it came time for the University of North Dakota to change their name from the Fighting Sioux to the Fighting Hawks, what did you think when all that was going down? What were your thoughts, both of you guys?
I don't know, man. It was like one of those James Bond evil... you know, world takeover type conspiracy things against Native images, you know? Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with Native images? You know, they were brave. They fought hard. They're, you know, geez, I mean, they are just, everybody loved, even though we got defeated and everything, but that still didn't make any the Indians, they were still brave and honorable, and they went through a lot of hardships. They sacrificed a lot, and they were. It was never really an even fight, but they still scrapped on. You know, I mean, and I don't know, man. It's just the images are all so cool, and you know, it's political correctness, man.
Yeah, and I used to announce a lot of Sioux hockey games back at the Ralph back in the day, and. It was never portrayed in a negative way. I mean, there was a whole thing that we read before each game, you know, with the meaning of what it meant to be a Fighting Sioux. Do you think a lot of people made the decision that really shouldn't have been involved with making that decision to change the name?
Yeah, probably. The Fort Totten voted 70% to 30 to keep it, so it should have been a done deal, I figure. But then, I don't know, the NCAA put its ugly head in there, and then the president capitulated or, you know, I don't know.
And then Standing Rock wouldn't allow their people to vote at all.
Yeah, it would have been an emergency vote, which would have taken a little bit of time. But now, is it true, and this is so long ago, but weren't they kind of backtracking after this whole thing changed? And they're like, well, wait a minute. You know, we kind of wanted to vote. Well, you had your chance, and you didn't. And I mean, the rest is history. But and I don't want to be knocking anybody in the NCAA because we have those guys on the show occasionally too. But don't you think the NCAA has got a little bit too much power for their own good?
Yeah. Exactly. And going back to when you're asking Ben if his stuff was worldwide, and it is worldwide. I saw a picture one time of a Libyan freedom fighter wearing the Sioux logo.
Wow.
On a gun on a
50 cal.
And is up there and he has a Sioux logo. So it is worldwide. His work is worldwide. And it's so respected. And how could they make that decision? I don't know.
And you know, the only time you ever saw it disrespected was when you're facing a different team. You're always going to get those chanters out there. You're always going to get... But you know what? At that time, a lot of these guys are still just kids, probably had a few mini barley pops in them. But the thing is, at the end of the night, that seems like it's all forgotten. Mm-hmm. It's just a sports thing. We did the same thing when we were growing up. It didn't matter if you were called the Terriers, we were going to call you little rat dogs or something. You know, that's just the way it is. That's the way it's always going to be. And I think what it boiled down to was the NCAA just trying to put a Band-Aid on something and thinking it's going to be fixed. When it's ridiculous because you go to a UND Fighting Hawks hockey game now or a football game, you're still going to hear the Sioux chants. You're still going to hear the Sioux being shouted out loud and proud. And it's kind of a bad part of the history of it.
Even with the bad that goes with it, it still brings awareness to everything that, you know, didn't happen and, you know, just the history behind everything. And what the hell is a Fighting Hawk?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
He's the bad one on the block, I guess. Don't give that hawk beer. He likes to fight.
Yeah, like, it's just the dumbest thing ever.
Ben, do you, not only with your art and stuff, but do you ever go work in buildings? I mean, I know I'm trying to put a bug in your ear. I'd like for you to do some work for me, but do you do that kind of stuff? Or are you more just into the art?
I've got a piece in the federal building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mom was a federal probation officer, and her bosses were in the federal building in Bismarck. One side's like the federal court thing, and then the other side was the post office. And I've got a wall piece there with a big eagle on it.
Mm-hmm.
I did do some interior art stuff, I guess. That's that one place there. I'll do art for anybody or whatever, you know, if the price is right or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, heck yeah.
When you do the rebar art, we all know rebar gets rusty. But that brings a kind of a cool look to it. Yeah. Do you leave it that way? Do you shine them up? Or does it all depend on what the person who commissioned it wants or whatever you're looking at in your brain? And you, do you wait to the end or you just let it kind of come into fruition on its own?
Just the bison on the Capitol by the Heritage Center there, that's got a real nice patina right now, man. It's that was put up in 86, and geez, it's just got a nice patina on it. And I think they might have sprayed something on it after it oxidized pretty good, because you could see some of the rust that went down the stone that it's on. And they might have sprayed something on it, but maybe it just takes that long for that to really set in. I think the horse is getting that way now. When it first starts, the oxidation kind of looks kind of crusty a little bit. But after a while, it just gets this nice patina on it. And then that acts as a rust inhibitor after it gets so far. So.
Do you have one piece of art that still to this day you are just blown away by? Do you have a favorite piece that you've ever created? Your stuff is so good. I would imagine it'd be hard, but do you have a favorite out there somewhere?
It's got to be that buffalo. That's the first one I did. I did a couple little stone things, but...
I thought you were going to say the bee that I painted in the underpass.
No.
It's got to be that buffalo, man. You know, I got something for that first one there. And I just jumped into it with both feet. Stan Johnson, he did the first Federal Man. He had that big granite piece on the coulee across from Wilkerson Hall. He did that. He had some thing about different races in the Student Union a long time ago. It spun around. And yeah, he did a lot of work, Stan Johnson. The first semester I had his class, I did a small carving, and we were supposed to do something small, medium, life size, and I only worked on the small one. Then the next semester I took the same class, and he said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Like do a buffalo." And he asked me what I'd like to do it from, do it out of. And I said, "Well, maybe chicken wire and plaster." And he says, "Well, what else? Maybe wood or something." And he said, "Well, what else?" He said, "Maybe ceramic plates or something." And he said, "You know how to weld?" I says, "No." He says, "Well, can you learn, you think?" I said, "Yeah." And then so that's what started all that rebar stuff.
So how did you start welding? Who taught you? And I would imagine you're getting pretty good at it.
The wire feed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy to learn how to weld. I mean, you can weld and make something hold together, but then you're going to see globs and all this kind of stuff. But when you've got an intricate piece of artwork like that, I would imagine you've got to be pretty crafty about where you weld too, so they don't all, or they're not all seen.
Well, my uncle was pretty crafty, and my mom was pretty crafty, actually. She did a lot of different stuff. But really fine welding, I usually hire that out.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Does that mean you got to give him credit on your artwork then?
That's when he calls Chuck in.
Yeah.
That's about it. You know, you got to make sure you have a good lighting, and then you have that that welding mask that darkens instantly,
mm-hmm.
and you put your gun right where you need that, just that little welding part by the eye or something. So you got to get it set up just right, and the wire feed makes it a lot easier.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Now, some of these pieces of art have got to weigh an incredible amount of weight.
The bison was 1,650 pounds.
How do you get that out of your shop?
Let's see.
Don't say your left and right arm either, and don't say that's where Chuck comes in.
There's my brother Chuck again.
Chuck doing the dirty work.
Well, when I moved that horse, we had about seven guys or whatever. The bison, we had like a little chain hoist thing.
Mm-hmm.
Stan, he thought of everything. He had me weld a bolt up in the top part of the bison's hump. Kind of centered it a little bit, kind of. And you just screwed an eye hook in there, put a chain in there, boom. He showed me so much stuff, this guy, man. Stan Johnson, he did everything, man.
Well, I would imagine, too, so if you build a piece and you have to, maybe you have to haul it to Grand Forks or Bismarck or whatever, I'm guessing these, you can't just lay them down on a trailer or anything. I suppose you've got to figure out a way to keep them intact, strapped, not moving, and make it through the journey, too.
They're all welded up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I make sure and over-weld stuff so they can fall. They can bounce around on a trailer. Oh, that metal, that rebar is just so forgiving.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine you have turned some heads going down the interstate, pulling some of your artwork to their destination.
Yeah, a little bit, I think, yeah. So, yeah, if somebody was riding with me, they'd say, oh, they're looking back and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Man, I tell you what, an honor to have you guys in the studio today.
I've been
wishing for this, I think, ever since we created Grand Forks Best Source. I do want, if you ever get a chance, come back.
Oh, yeah.
We're always interested in what you're doing. You just do such good stuff. Chuck, I owe you. I'll take you out for a cold one here, too, because getting him out and about in Grand Forks, it seems like it's no easy task to get Bennett back here. You guys, thank you so much for being on the show again.
Yeah, you're welcome. And seriously, like, even, you know, when you went back and did that when I was in elementary school, I mean, I still remember it to this day. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I run into students that I worked with here and there. Like, a guy was a manager at a hotel in Minot once, and he reminded me he was one of my...
See you make an impact,
yes.
Not only with your artwork, but with just you being you, man.
Yeah, dang.
That's something that not everybody can say that, and that's a good thing. Wow. You guys, thanks again.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, man, there you go. Bennett and Chuck Breen. Awesome to have them on the show. Hey, we want you to become a Podbean Premium subscriber. Chance for you to win some free stuff. You go to your Play Store, you download Podbean, search GFBS, you hit follow, and you buy premium, and you're all set. Also, we are now on Amazon Music. Tell your smart speaker to play GFBS Podcast, and we're still looking for your 5-star reviews on Google, too, all right? Special thanks going out to Duso Photography. Not too late to get those senior pictures done. You still have time. He's got some openings, but you want to hurry up. You know, Bob Duso also does the family portraits, business headshots, does corporate pics, products, food. You want to find out more? Go to DusoPhoto.com. Find all the pricing and information. He'll come to your house, too. And if you want to see some of his artwork, come into our studio. He's got all kinds of racing pictures here in the studio. Check him out. If you want to look the best, Duso Photography could do that. Call him up, 218-230-4325, or go to DusoPhoto.com. Well, everybody, have yourself a great weekend. Stay tuned. Monday, we have got Roller Derby Girls on the show. Oh, yeah. Make sure you like us, share us, and tag us, too, okay? We're Grand Forks' best source, giving Grand Forks an identity again.